All right.
Similar story. I knew the state attorney in Fort Myers when I lived in Florida. Fort Myers was passing an ordinance against strip clubs. They were trying to define what a blowout was. They spent hours. The state attorney, of course, I couldn't resist. The next time I saw him, I asked him, I said, y'all don't have tape measures now? He said, my God, I don't even talk about that. He said, all the problems we've got, they spent a whole damn meeting trying to figure it out. How much it was bare.
What a stuff you learned at planning.
Oh, I tell you. Okay.
That was recorded?
Yes, sir.
Whatever.
No, it's not. For our official call, I'll offer we'll do an invocation and a pledge as we have precedent has been set. If you feel led, please join me. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the ability to come here and participate in the citizen-led government. We thank you for the foresight of our founding fathers that empowered us to do so. And we pray that you'd be with us in all the things that we consider here, those that are of heavy importance and those that may not seem to be so much. We pray for your leadership, guidance, and wisdom. All these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Sandy, will you lead us in this?
Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Welcome to everyone in attendance. Glad you could join us tonight. I take it we won't have any public comment. Pitchforks, did you tell them it was?
I told them it was in the learning lab.
Oh, I got you. Okay, all right.
Media has everything okay. Mailed out. How many letters did you mail out? We'll get to that.
300. What?
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the proposed agenda for tonight?
I'll make that motion.
And a second?
Second.
Mm-hmm. All right. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. All right. All right. Well, next, we'll consider the approval of minutes from the March 15th, 2018 meeting. Mm-hmm. Has everyone had a chance to review those?
Mm-hmm.
I will entertain a motion.
Motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
All right. Now that we have a motion and a second, does anyone have any corrections, changes, or discussion that we need to pursue? If not, all those in favor of passing the minutes from March 15, 2018, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. Okay. All right. Subdivision approvals and updates. Joy, floor is yours.
In front of you, you have the subdivisions and exemptions that have been reviewed by the Planning and Community Development Office since March 14th. There was one subdivision that was a three-lot subdivision in the Duns Rock Township that could have been it could have been an exception because it was a single lot inherited through will. But the attorney and the heirs chose to process it as a true subdivision. So we have a three-lot subdivision. In addition to that, we have 14 exceptions. Three are recombination of the previously approved lots. Two are greater than 10 acres. One is a family subdivision, and eight were changing the boundary lines between adjoining property owners.
Anyone have any questions?
No questions, but
okay.
Under this topic, we'll point out that Joy and I went up to Preserve at Rock Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy with us.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to just see that process of looking at the roads. There's a developer is wanting to continue on up the mountain. There's approximately 24, we don't know the exact number of new lots that they want. The road that we were asked to look at has not been approved. It is not stable, in our opinion. And there are places down below that are not stable.
They're not what?
Stable.
Places down below on the existing
roadway?
Okay.
We have subsequently met with the design, I guess would be the contractor doing the design work for this in the office, in fact, last Friday, and talked to them and gave them advice. Their biggest concern, I'm going to give a little bit of history on this. This is a development that's been phased over time. And the first phase took place in the mid-2000s. And then there was a second phase that went further up the mountain after the subdivision ordinance had changed. And it required an 18-foot roadbed for the number of lots that were being proposed. There was only a 16-foot roadbed. And so we made them, Mike Thomas was planner, add 2 feet of paved surface back to US 64. They did that. They recorded some more lots, and then the recession took place. And they have subsequently recorded a few lots. Most of those that have been recorded are now in Jackson County. We have no jurisdiction over that area. They're now back into Transylvania County, and they want to go all the way up to the top of the mountain. The concern that they have is that we would make them, since the ordinance has changed yet again, that the number of proposed lots, they're afraid that we're going to make them add 2 additional feet of shoulder width all the way back to 64. And I said, that's not our interest. We have an 18-foot roadbed, more or less. We have pretty much stable shoulders. We're not going to make you, from what you've already done, we're not going to make you redo that, except where it's failing. Yeah. And we've just said, we're not going to approve anything where there's the term, Tim's you familiar with sloughing off. You can just see where it's just peeling off. I think that was a big relief to them. And our understanding is they are going to come back with revised plans after talking to the owner about how many lots they're going to put in and the process going forward. And for Sandy, that area that was paved, that was pretty at the very end, they're going to have to redo that. I mean, it was, we mentioned it last time, there was a driveway that went off. And if you miss the driveway, you're going off that much. And it wasn't a fixer.
Before we went up there, they completely filled the driveway in to get the shoulders on the road, but the shoulders that they put were not at the right height, and they were not stable. So.
And then they also, for the filled shoulder, their idea of a sloped, graded shoulder was to put riprap going up on the side. So really what it was doing then is channeling water right down and then forcing it to a point that would be eroding out the road. So we talked about that last month. That was an update. And Sandy, we enjoyed having you there as kind of a witness to see what we were doing.
It's a neat, it's a beautiful area. And there it is. That's all. Yeah, it was interesting, very interesting.
When Betsy says something.
That they thought it was okay. That was
We don't know when the next event will take place on that. It's up to them, but we will try to work with them to the extent that we can with that ordinance.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Any questions? Do I have anything further to add?
Bob, you got a thought?
No, I'm just thinking about how they try to use that riprap. You know, fill in like that. And most of the time, they don't put fabric underneath it. The riprap just ends up sinking into the soil or sloughing off.
They had fabric down and riprap holding it on the edge. That's all it was doing. But it was piled up so that rather than pushing down, it was going up. It's stupid. That's all we got on that, sir.
Okay. All right, moving right along to item number 6, old business. A, Mountain Ridge Ordinance, Protection Ordinance.
Well, we were at Preserve at Rock Creek on the way back. We stopped at Mountain Falls RV Resort that's up there that is located on a protected mountain ridge.
Have you guys been up there?
I know what you're talking about. I've had to make several trips to Highlands in the past few weeks.
You need to go up there and say, we're looking at lots, and go up to the ridge and see what they're doing up there. It's pretty amazing. Tenth of an acre lot going for how much?
If it has a tiny house on it, $750,000.
That's a lot.
But it's a protected mountain ridge, so if you need a visual of what a protected mountain ridge is, the top road near the clubhouse or behind the clubhouse is a protected mountain ridge. They have several property owners within 100 feet of the protected mountain ridge, and we wanted to give the POA a specific letter letting them know that their property owners would be receiving a letter in the mail, and just touching base, and they said it should not be a problem because of their restrictions. Nothing that can be built in that subdivision will be greater than 40 feet, and so they have their own restrictions in addition to the Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance. And so they were not concerned with the Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance based on our conversations anyway. So
we mailed out, at your request, over 300 letters to property owners that are on or have this property that is within a ridge, as identified, with 3,000 feet, 500 foot difference. I think we had approximately a half dozen people come to the office or call with questions, but as soon as we said that you could build something less than 40 feet, 2.5-story home, everybody said, oh, that's fine. And that was all the conversation was, and then we ended up, people that I talked to were out of state and started talking about weather. And it was a non-event for them. This morning, I received an email from Mark Tooley, former planning board member, and Mark lives on a ridge. He actually sent two emails, but I told him that I would be more than glad to share this email and then just mention the other one. And basically what he says is, this is great, but he wishes that state statute would allow to get rid of the 3,000 foot and then you only had 500 foot difference from valley to ridge. But he understands that that's state statute and it would require an act of legislature. I don't have it in me to try to make that change. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference in this county. But I told him that I would be glad to share this with you. The other email that he sent was to thank everybody for sending out the letters, recognizing it took more time and energy, but in the sake of being transparent and trying to engage the citizens, when this does go to the county commissioners, we can say we sent this out to over 300 people. We went by one of the largest developments, talked to the POA, made them aware of it, and we had a planning board meeting, and we had all of no people show up. So,
of course, I'm sure I speak for everyone when I say we we appreciate you all taking the time to do that as well. I know it's added workload, but it is the responsible thing to do, and it'll make the job for the commissioners in passing this a lot easier, much easier if we take, you know, those appropriate steps and try to take the heat off of it before it gets to them. So at the end of the day, that's our end goal, is to have this thing revised and approved, and of course doing right by the community. That's when they'll get worked up. I know from experience, because when they feel like they're trying to pass one by, I've been on both sides of that.
And I think that was Max's point.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got a related kind of, it's related but a little bit off topic. The cost for mailing that, do we have a fund for the planning board?
Planning department has a mailing line item.
Okay. All right.
And that's what we took that out of. These two took the time to evaluate the cost. Actually, I think it was Kaylin in this case, took the time to evaluate whether it would be cheaper to do a half-page ad with a larger map or a two-page color letter mailed out to 306 however many people, and it was cheaper to do the mailing rather than to take the ad out, and we thought it would be more effective. You have copies of the letter, I think, in your packet.
Yes.
So
I agree.
But there is a line item in our budget.
Okay.
For that.
Okay.
The copy of the letter that you had in your packet is one of the two that were returned due to a name or an address being incorrect.
Out of 300, there were only two returned.
So if you try to send anything to Bowl Sandra F. Trustee, you'll get it back.
So what we need to do tonight is look at the proposed changes one more time. I don't think you have to. I hope you don't have to go line by line again. We've done that. We've made the changes that you wanted. I do think that it is appropriate to go back to the definition of Dunn's Rock and make sure that you're comfortable with that. And then Joy has also created the map that you have showing the ridges, and so we have that. So, does that make sense? I mean, we can go through it line by line. That's your discretion. Mm-hmm. But I think the changes that we've incorporated, the changes from the last meeting.
Is everyone okay with that approach? We can go line by line if you'd prefer to.
We did that last time.
Yeah. I looked it over. It was really good.
The biggest thing was we were trying to define it by elevation relative to the topo lines, right?
And Lauren actually helped us with that. I sent him a topo of Dunn's Rock, and using his skills, he delineated the top of Dunn's Rock based on the topo lines and the base of Dunn's Rock. And the contour line that's 200 feet below Dunn's Rock.
And then we connected it with a huge elevation line change, but it's the only way to connect Castle and Dunn's Rock.
The big change that you'll see in the definition is Castle Rock is not included in the definition. If you notice on page 3 of the ordinance that you were mailed, the one change of the definition of Dunn's Rock is Castle Rock is not included. And the reason for that is we spoke to the property owner. The property owner has a conservation easement for the entire area that is outlined in red here, and it includes both Castle Rock and Dunn's Rock. And Castle Rock is far enough from the edge of the property boundary that 100 feet from the top of Castle Rock would fall on their property or would be on the property line. And so with that conservation easement restricting development on or around Castle Rock, there did not seem a need to include it, and that was an addition of an additional feature that was not in the 1983 ordinance. And so the definition, you'll notice, is much shorter. And Dunsrock is still defined because it is so close to the property boundary. Because it's close to the property boundary, 100 feet from the top of Dunsrock may fall on someone else's property that does not have a conservation easement restricting development. And if we treat Dunsrock like all the other mountain ridges, the development within 100 feet of the ridge line, or in this case, the top of Dunsrock, would be what would require the permit for development over 40 feet tall. So Dunsrock, the definition changed to be the area encompassing the exposed rock formation near Greenville Highway between Eliza Ware Road and Island Ford Road, located between the 2,750 foot contour lines.
Right, so while Bob is thinking about something, trying to get something, keep in mind that the top of Dunsrock is not typical crest. Normally you think of a ridge as being a crest, and it's not a crest. It actually is a slight plateau, and then it's going to just continue on up for almost a quarter mile, maybe even further than that, as it goes towards Rich Mountain going on up. And so what we're saying is it's still going to be 100 foot from the top of Dunsrock. And so the challenge on that, and I'm surprised that there aren't some people from the Cantrell Mountain area, is it only goes 100 feet. We're not taking it back any further than the rest of what we require for all the other ordinances. Now, if you wanted to look at that and say, well, because that's such a prominent feature, we would like to have something further back from development, we could do that, but right now it's just 100 feet.
So we have an extra compo map over there.
See
Island Ford Road up there on that map.
No, it's between, so if you look at...
I know where Island Ford Road is. I drive on it frequently. But I don't know that it's on that side of the Greenville Highway.
No, it's not.
It's a point of reference.
It's a point of reference.
Okay.
So this is Greenville Highway.
Right.
Here is Island Ford
yeah,
Road.
Right.
Here is Dunsrock.
Right.
Here is Eliza
okay.
Ware Road.
All right.
So Dunsrock is near Greenville Highway between Eliza Ware and Island Ford.
I would read it too much. I think you said, well, I'm not
it's just between.
It is. If you look at it the way you are right now. I wasn't looking at it that way. Here's the road, and here's the road. That's between those two roads.
Well, I was thinking that if we did Greenville Highway and Eliza Ware, that there might be other rocks further up Greenville Highway that might get confused. And Island Ford dead ends into Greenville Highway.
All right,
and so all three of those roads are in that one area.
Right, I got you.
And so that's
that'll
the rationale now. You guys have a different rationale.
Well, I think that actually makes a lot of sense to try to define it that way. I mean, using a landmark that's not going to change over time.
Bob, what are you thinking?
I'm just putting it all together here. It sounds reasonable. You know, there's one other thing that, and this may not be the right time to ask, but when people are looking at developing these ridge tops, if they get a permit from the health department for septic tanks, then the planning board accepts that, right? Or the planning department accepts that. I'm just concerned about a lot of times these... you know how shallow these soils are on top of these ridges. And you know, of course, septic tanks and drain fields have come a long way, but still, 3 feet of soil is only 3 feet, 4 feet of soil.
Well, and it takes the right type of soil, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, what we would be looking at is, let's say somebody did come in on a ridge, not just on front, but on a ridge. They would have to get a permit for that. We would look and say, is it 40 feet or less? And that doesn't require anything. They're good with that. But if they wanted to do something different than that, then we're going to be looking at a lot of other things that they have to bring in. We're going to be noticing adjoining property owners. They're going to have essentially the road. You're going to have to demonstrate how that road is safe for emergency vehicles. They're going to have a water system that's not only for potable water, but for emergency. If you have to have a fire, you're going to have some type of emergency supply of water there. Septic probably is not going to work on top of a ridge. They're either going to have to pump it or pipe it down and treat it elsewhere or have public. So all of those things we would be looking for before we would bring it to you as a board to make an approval on it.
Page 7, section 5.12.3. If individual wells or septic tanks are to be utilized, a written statement from the Transylvania County Health Department indicating approval of wells and or septic tanks for use in the development shall be submitted.
So once they approve it, they've looked at it and done their field evaluations, and
right,
everything's good to go.
And if an on-site packaged water or a sewer treatment system is to be utilized, a letter of approval from the state is required. So,
well, that's one of those things I've just been concerned about over the years about shallow soils and septic systems.
Now, a little bit more of a digression, but I think worthy of just a minute discussion. Let's just talk about subdivision ordinance. And a developer could come in and preserve at Rock Creek. We're not looking for a septic system. We don't need to have approval from the health department. But they're not going to get a lot until that lot is checked out by the health department for the number of bedrooms that it's going to service.
You mean a building permit?
Building. They're not going to get a soil. They're not going to get a septic permit.
Right.
And they're not going to get a building permit until they get a septic permit on it. And so really what defines that then is going to be your soil and how much repair area you are going to need, where the house is going to be, property line, any water areas that they have to set back from. So that's the way that's been here. Now, if it's a subdivision that would have public water, we just need a sign off saying that there's going to be public water or public sewer. And that's what we're looking at.
Sounds good.
Any other items of discussion? Floor is open. Is everybody happy with the definition of tundra?
Until you're not?
So I am.
No, until you're not.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said I could tell. No. I wasn't. Sorry. Any other items besides the definition you want to discuss?
No, it looks good.
Yeah.
Cleaned up. Very nice.
Very nice.
Thank you, Laura, for doing all this.
Yes.
Oh, no problem.
Yes, thank you, Laura. What is our next? Are we ready to?
You're ready to actually vote send it on to approving the draft to present to the county commissioners.
Okay.
Move we approve this draft.
Second motion time on the floor. We have a second. Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor of approving the draft and sending it to the county commissioners indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Like sign.
Okay. So the next step on this is we will put together an agenda memo
for the county manager. I don't know when this will be on the commissioner's agenda. They're at a point in time where they're starting to look at budget issues and the school board. They've got a lot on their plate. It may not even take place until June. There's nothing pressing with this, so we will put that together, have that for Jamie, and it will be up to her as to when she wants to put it. Well, her, the clerk, and Larry will make a decision as to when they want to put it on. So, thank you. Thank you to Joy for a lot of work on that, and Kaylin supporting, helping with it. So, it's good.
I have a question now that we're through with that. On this map, there are these little isolated
conservation
easements. That's what I figured. They're conservation easements.
The state has a program of conservation easements,
right,
and
right.
So if it's a state program, it lands in state management, and that may be the Department of Ag, that might be EEP. They have several programs that affect that, and you'll see Bracken Mountain.
Yeah.
Owned by the city.
Is that what this property is?
That
is Headwaters.
Headwaters State Forest.
Headwaters, what Tim is looking at is center bottom of the map. There's a ribbon that would be adjacent to 178. That's all. That was Champion Cattle, owned by Charles Taylor and his family. And it's sold to the state and becoming Headwaters Eastport.
Okay. I just didn't recognize that.
When it is on the agenda, we will give you as much notice as possible and see if you would also be able to attend and recognize you for your effort on this.
Before,
all right.
There is going to be one change to this map before it is official, and that's the removal of Castle Rock. You'll notice in the bend of US 276, there's a little blue area with two yellow lines.
Yes.
One is Castle, one is Dunn's. Castle Rock will be removed.
Okay, we'll move on to item B, joint planning board meeting.
We're not going to have one.
All right. new business.
We have our next meeting that we were looking at having for the joint meeting was May 17th. It was going to be around 5:30. NCDOT and the contractor doing work on Broad Street, North Broad Street, will be having a meeting in the Board of Elections office from 2 to 3 or 4 elected officials to look at it and comment, and then from 4 to 7, it's open to the public. And this is R5800 is the DOT name for it. You should try to go. It really, I think, would be interesting for you to see what is being proposed and the changes being looked at for Broad Street. I think it's phenomenal, and it's going to be allowing for bike lanes, sidewalks, new lighting, much safer, and roundabouts. All of that to improve traffic flow and safety.
You're going to have security there.
We won't need security.
So they're not putting any roundabouts.
I tell you what, our next meeting, we may have a video on roundabouts because it is horrendous. They are far safer and more effective at moving traffic. And if you do have an accident, it is at a slower speed and it's a side swipe rather than T-bump. And so, we can have information for that, but we suggest that you attend on the 17th between 3 and 7. I tried to find another date that Daniel, I even said, well, why don't we just meet after that? You know, let's meet at 7:30. And Daniel said his board did not want to do that. I tried to find other dates, and at this point in time, we're going to have our regular meeting in here at 7 p.m. on the 17th of May.
And that's the same day as this meeting.
It is. But it's over in Board of Elections.
Right.
Okay. And It's supposed to end at 7, so if you get there between 6:30 and 7, you'll have plenty of time to see it and walk over here.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And so we will try to work with Daniel on a future date, but that, I guess it doesn't seem to be a high priority.
Okay.
So, is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
Is it a fair statement? Yeah. Okay. So that's all we have on that. Would you like to see a video on roundabouts at the next meeting?
Sure.
Safety video?
You know, when Bruce and I left New Jersey 10 years ago, they were removing them. Huge roundabouts in South Jersey. I'm not sure why, but I can tell you from experience, people hesitate. They don't know when to go, and they do end up with accidents. And they've I don't know. I don't think these are going to be that big. So I mean, I'm talking huge ones. Because they needed, they just needed space, I guess.
We discussed the Northeast.
Yeah.
And Joy was asking us to pick up on that, I think.
I think so. They made a point to talk about the difference between traffic circles and roundabouts.
Okay.
But roundabouts aren't suitable if there's too much traffic on one of the roads and not enough on others.
Yeah.
And so the traffic flow may not have been suitable for those large roundabouts as time progressed. And yeah.
What's a rotary? They call them rotaries up here. Is that a roundabout or is it?
Oh, I don't know if that's a traffic circle or a roundabout.
A rotary would probably be the equivalent of a traffic circle. It would be the equivalent of that. And it's basically a whole free for all.
Yes.
It's a free for all. A roundabout.
That's Jersey in general, isn't it?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
A roundabout is going to, they're designed entirely different now.
Okay.
And DOT is all over this. On the Transylvania County Transportation Advisory Committee, we have a former DOT engineer. And he will actually, and we could bring him to this meeting, and he could tell you about them and how much more efficient. The Masters Golf Tournament, wherever that was held, or something like 10,000 cars. Hilton.
Augusta.
And they were able to clear out something like 10,000 cars in 20 minutes. Using roundabouts.
Wow.
So I think it's, you are right, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be opposed to it. The good thing is the first roundabout is going in about 3 months, and it's going to be off of a Acosta Road. So people are going to get, I think they'll have a chance to see how it actually works.
I'd like to see that video.
This roundabout's over there. Oh, yeah. We got video.
Well, roundabout set people off like the Z word. I don't know what it is, but I like them. I like them. You don't have to sell me on them. I love them.
But
yes, I know. If I can stay going,
yeah,
which that accomplishes, but man, it gets people worked up.
Yeah, the biggest thing is what
because you don't know
what
they're
talking.
I never have that problem. I'm the other way around. It's like keep me out.
Keep going around, it's fine.
Yeah. You know, feel like you're at Bristol without the banking.
So we're kind of digressing into the next topic area. And Joy suggested we can send you the link to this if you want to view it on your own time. But what we were going to propose on your new business for the 2025 comprehensive plan. I will be going down to New Orleans to receive the award for the county.
Where are you going? Good.
For national merit of small jurors.
That must hurt.
It does.
Yeah. You're taking one for the team.
It's actually a big deal. You think we won national merit for small jurisdiction for a comprehensive plan. 50,000 population is that threshold. What we've talked about is at our next meeting, cities not involved with it, is inviting the community advocates, having cake and celebration of the 2025 comp plan, And then we are in the process, and Kalen has started putting together what we would like to share then at the meeting is, remember Appendix E? And that's the summary of what has happened. And so this doesn't have what has happened yet. What Kalen has done is she has put the action step, current, future. We'll have a status. She's actually under notes. She put how that ties back to the county's strategic plan. And now what we will do over the next month is go back and instill under notes what has happened. And then whether or not it's ongoing, has been done, or is no longer. And what we were talking about is having community advocates come, have recognition of the work that has been done under 2025, and with them here, not go through this line by line, but be able to identify highlights of what has been accomplished since this was adopted in March of 2017.
That's a really good idea.
I think it is. I'd like to be able to do that. We got about 60 people that were really engaged. We will not have county funds pay for the cake on that, but we will find a way of getting cake or something in here to recognize comp plan.
I think you should be sure to invite the members of all the planning board that were involved in that. Even though they're not bad.
And a couple of us are not. And so,
yeah, I understand, but yeah.
No, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But to Joy's point to me on the side was, do we actually want to take time for a roundabout film, or you can look at it individually?
Let's look at it individually and dedicate that meeting for that purpose.
That's really the only thing I think we should have at the meeting.
I agree. That's my opinion. Obviously.
Yeah, I agree. I completely. I can watch that or not.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a YouTube video.
Okay.
I think that's a little better than what's
this. Absolutely.
I'm excited. There is actually a follow-up matrix.
Yes.
So there is follow-up because I think that information is invaluable.
Yes.
And it's very easy to get this thing in place and then not really follow up from behind, so that's great to see that happening.
And I think what, just from what we know, because of what we've been touching and being involved with, there's a lot.
Yeah, that's great to hear.
There's a lot.
A lot of new things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of things that have been ongoing for years, but even on the ongoing items, there are small new initiatives that we're aware of that happened in the last year that add to the existing programs. So,
Daryl, we may actually draft a letter for you to the chair of the county commissioners, inviting the commissioners to come to that.
Okay.
I was just going to ask, how are we going to get that information to the county commissioners? Because they would like to know, too.
Well, what we plan on doing and what we started doing is filling out this matrix, but before I have something that is for public consumption, I want to make sure that the county manager is okay with it, and so with her having it, the commissioners will have it. So.
We can do the letter, and I'll be happy to follow up with phone calls.
Great. Anything else on that? I mean, that's essentially what we will have as our meeting for the next month.
We used a quote from you in the application for the...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's still won?
Yes.
Public record from
the August planning board meeting. You had a fantastic quote, and we listened to it over and over and over again and wrote it down.
And you didn't pass that draw.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you how many hours it took you to figure out what I was saying.
We had Bill Minnick from the Toxaway area wrote something that was really just very nice. And then from EDA, Economic Development Administration, what is her name? Heather.
Heather.
Yeah. And she had to get permission for us to use it, and her supervisor said sure.
So we had some quotes from people saying how approachable it was.
Good. Very good. That sounds like a great idea. We'll just dedicate the next meeting to that. All right. Item B, census.
Don't have a lot this month on this. And I think what you will see is probably every agenda we will always have something on census. There may be a lot, there may not be. But something that Kaylin pointed out, County News is a paper subscription that we get. And there was an article in Help the Census Bureau Accurately Count Your Community. She went online, has identified that we are already registered for the 2020. So that piece is there. We've got questions that we're working on, and we'll be meeting with Kevin Shook. Kevin does the addressing for the county, and I think having his buy-in and understanding of what we're trying to do is really important. And so just that's the update on that, sir. And the map is just maps of who are participating at the county level and who's participating at the state level, but it's not worthy of making a copy of.
Okay. Anyone have any questions?
We're going to have a census.
We're going to have a census. There's a lot of question about census and
yes, there is.
The amount of support and funding for it, who will be counted, who is not going to be counted. It's a big deal. I mean, it seems like a long time away. April of 2020 seems a long way away, but it's not.
It's 2 years.
Yeah,
it's not at all.
It's not very long.
And you probably heard me say this. You probably hear me say it again, but I did not realize how valuable the information from the census truly was until it is littered throughout the comprehensive plan, and it really helped to make that comprehensive plan. A much more engaging document for me, anyway. Now, I'm a geek for numbers like that. It may not matter to anybody else, but I didn't realize, the true depth of the information that they get from the census. And I will, I participated in the last one, but I'll certainly be a big supporter of this one for that reason and what I saw of that valuable information that we were able to use to better understand the county. And I think the county's changed quite a bit since 2010, and it'll be interesting to see that data.
There's a lot of that information that's used in funding and
it is, really is.
Decided upon and whatnot that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
A lot of that is a lot of the school funding based on that.
It is. Of course, they do their own internals annually, but it is based on that to an extent. But the education, especially with our county, we have so many people that are part-time residents. The education of getting folks to, what is it if you spend 6 months and a day here?
You're supposed to
be on Transylvania County. So just doing our job and our role to get that information out there to make sure we get as many heads counted as possible. All right, planning director update.
Yeah, I'm going to go through a number of things real quickly. The Appalachian Regional Commission wayfinding signs are being installed. I think we have three more to go or something like that. So when you are out in the further reaches of the county, you will see the same brown wayfinding signs that are in Brevard are in the county now. And rather than saying City of Brevard, it says Transylvania County. And so when those are installed, that was an ARC grant that we were able to get for the county. And TDA, Tourism Development Authority, is the match on that. We talked about R5800 and May 17th. I really would encourage you to take some time that afternoon, sometime between 4 and 7, to just go through and see what is being proposed. On housing, we learned earlier this week that Housing Assistance Corporation received $100,000 in funding to help with single-family urgent need. And so that piggybacks off the work that Joy particularly has been doing with the home funds that we have for the three homes, that we have enough money to completely rehab. That when we start that project, we have to be able to take it all the way up to current code for everything. There's one of those three homes we can't touch. We had a contractor bid on one and two. The third one, he came back and said, at minimum, it's going to be $20,000 more than what is budgeted for this, and there's foundation work that we're not even sure on. And so we can go now to that property owner and say, here are urgent funds to help with where you have a fireplace. They have a stove, I believe, that's not safe. We could put in an HVAC system or a heat pump that will help them have a safer thing. So we've got that. The workforce housing, I think I mentioned at the last meeting, that's the county's 25 acres. The deadline for that is next Friday, 27th, to see who is going to actually submit anything to the county. I've talked to one group and a couple of people here in town. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
And Mark, that's up there at the old landfill, man.
Yeah.
Now, are they absolutely talking about building on the landfill?
No.
I didn't know.
No.
I was wondering that.
It is a property that is adjacent. It is adjacent to the landfill.
Yeah.
Okay. Not on the landfill.
Man, I can believe.
I still have the...
On the 29th of March, we had our first comprehensive bike plan meeting with stakeholders. We had about 30 people show up for that. And the goal is to have a draft for the county by December, January. We had most everybody there enjoys biking or has an appreciation. Not everybody. We have a couple people that have volunteered. We need to talk to the guy that lives out in Little River that had a letter to the editor.
I can put you in touch with Sean.
Ask him if he wants to attend.
I will. He may. He very well may.
He brings up some very interesting points.
Well, I think we also need to talk about farmers with tractors that are taking up a lot of space. We need to talk about the gray hairs and blue hairs that are probably more dangerous than mine.
You don't have to worry about me. I'm sure.
The point simply being, we are trying to engage a large number of people in this community. We will be going out, I think we've got the 26th of June, we have our next stakeholders meeting, and we will go to our first of four community centers seeking input from the community. The first one's going to be Little River. The Little River Community Center has said that we can use their facility. We'll do one in the Pisgah Forest Bavard area. We'll do one up at Cedar Mountain. And we'll do one in the Rosby Quebec area. And we'll be asking folks from Toxaway to come down and participate as well as Balsam Grove. Community centers, do you all see the paper on that? County commissioners approved $50,000 of grants to help with community centers. Having them open, providing free Wi-Fi, and then improving centers for safety purposes and to make them more attractive for people to come in. One of the examples on that is Little River Community Center, nearly defunct a year and a half, 2 years ago. They currently have 20 kids that are attending that building now for 4-H and have a waiting list. And so two of the other grants went for helping treat mold and renovating the downstairs area. The community center work on that has really in large part been Kaylin has helped take the lead on that. So we're now working with Frank Porter to get the free Wi-Fi, what that cost is, and putting together contracts for the manager to sign. County commissioners have already said that they want this in the budget for next year, the same amount that they want to do it again. We have coming up in May a small community center meeting at Cedar Mountain. We'll let you know about that in advance. That's an evening meeting. They want to talk about a small area plan and what that might look like, what Cedar Mountain might look like in the future. And Lake Toxaway is going gangbusters right now, have hired a private consultant to actually look and say, how can we look at the historic Lake Toxaway area, which is the Toxaway community, Burlingame Sapphire. How do you begin to make that a community? How do you look at increasing the value of property by combining some of the areas that have small sewer systems into one larger system, which would make a lot of sense? And then talk about bicycles. They want to have areas to be able to bike in between, and one of the ideas is to go from essentially the dam, Toxaway Dam, have a mountain bike trail that would go all the way to Gorges and tie that in. And so that will be part of the bike comp plan. We'll identify that. Let's see. Last thing I have is Tuesday night. One of the things that this board pushed in the comp plan was looking at equity and empathy. And so Project Empathy continues, and we're supporting that. There is a group of individuals on Tuesday night at Dunham Auditorium. I don't know if you saw the story on this in the ads, but there's going to be a time to talk about Dunham's. And it's a really interesting forum that's going to be taking place. You have four individuals that have very different views of guns. The moderator is going to be Phil Harris. And so Phil is going to be, the format is going to be, the four of them are going to talk about guns and how they came to where they are in terms of their position about guns, why they think the way they do. It's not for or against, it's just trying to help begin a discussion of why do they think this way. It's not about the Second Amendment, for or against. There will be discussions about access. And that is a big issue.
Access
is a big concern. Not about ownership, but who has access to it, and safety. And then Phil will have some runners that will be taking index cards that people can ask questions on. Phil will take those questions and share it with the panel for discussion. I think it's going to be a really interesting in a good way. I think it'll be a fascinating evening, and so I would encourage you to go to it.
What day was that again?
Tuesday, the 24th. That's Tuesday. It will start at 6:30 p.m. and it will last approximately an hour to an hour and a half.
Where?
Dunham.
Dunham, right.
Auditorium. I finished what I have, and Joy's got one more thing. Or at least one more thing.
Yeah, I was just going to give them a date for the Cedar Mountain if they wanted it. May 14th at 6 p.m. in the Cedar Mountain Community Center. It's the very first conversation of what a small area plan, what the process would look like, and trying to get them thinking about it, because there's a core group that wants to see a small area plan up there. So this is taking it to the broader community, saying, are you interested?
And with that, we will provide you with a time. It is a pop-up dinner.
Yeah.
And so when I go to something like this, even though they said we've got plenty of food, and I understand from Galen, they usually have plenty of food, I always take something. So if you do go, I would encourage you to take something as part of that.
When is that date again?
May 14th at 6 p.m.
And it's where?
Cedar Mountain Community Center.
That's the day after Mother's Day, where that is.
You're right, it is. It's Monday, the 14th.
All right. Thank you for that.
Yeah. We have also been asked as a department by Paige LaMille to craft the State of the Seniors in Transylvania County. So you may have seen the State of the Young Child report. It was instrumental in that data for the comprehensive plan. Well, the State of the Seniors is going to be coming out in May. It's in draft form right now, and the goal is to identify the resources that are out there any redundancy that may exist, and what the gaps are, and what the focus needs to be to fill those gaps. How can we coordinate better? How can we get more resources to assist the older adults in our county? And there's been talk about what the age of a senior is, whether it's 55, 60, or 65. And so there is data in the draft.
Well, 65, you just get started.
There's a group that wanted us to go with AARP number at 50, so, you know, this is just beginning.
Yeah.
I'm getting too close to that. That's
So, like the comprehensive plan, there's a lot of figures, there's a lot of data with narrative attached to it. So, it should be a good read when it's over.
Is it on the county website?
It is not. It is a draft form, and if you would like a copy knowing that it's a draft, to have further changes, we can share with you.
Joy, how is the potential future purchase of mission by this HRI going to affect that?
We don't know.
We don't know.
That has potential.
It does.
Real potential.
Potential.
Well, good and bad.
Right.
Okay.
And so this is what resources are here now, not what could be, I mean, what could be in the future to benefit the seniors, and maybe that buyout may address some of the gaps. It may, I don't know.
It may create some.
It may create some, you're right, exactly. So.
A lot of time and energy into that. There's been a group of about... There's a group of about 25 people, organizations that have met for about a year. And then I was away. I asked Joy to attend. And at that meeting, at the end of it, Paige Flamel looked at Joy and said, "You will put this together." And Joy did not look and say, "No, that belongs to somebody else." She just volunteered. She's got one hell of a job. Okay. That was
when a county commissioner says,
"Good thinking, Joy."
You guys can do something. You do it.
There's a tremendous discrepancy against the older people that are natives and live in this county that are not as financially capable as some of the wealthy older retirees here. And I mean, that's night and day difference.
We know that. And that's, one of the things that I think we had a little bit more editorial views at the first draft of this, and the group didn't want the editorials about discrepancy other than factual. Give us facts. Let other people make their determination of how that impacts people or what that difference is. And so what Joy has really put together, we as a group, and then input from this other, is trying to look at facts of the county and where seniors are, what their services are right now, what we're trying to do is get gaps on this. We've got a small grant that we're applying for from Land of Sky that at the end of the day, the issues that we see in terms of priorities, we need to be looking at transportation is the biggest issue for our seniors. The next thing is housing for seniors. Having a continuing care facility is really, I think everybody says we have to have continuing care facility. College Walk is not continuing care. And it doesn't have skilled nursing, and so it's not a continuation of care. The next is looking at the environment and making sure that the physical environment is safe for seniors to be able to go about their daily life, where they can walk safely in town or have a Toxaway Community Center, a track that is paved rather than gravel for safe walking. That's one of the grants that was requested, not funded this year, but that was a request.
And then the fourth priority is looking at health, and that's both mental and physical health of seniors. And what we have found is that drugs are a big issue with seniors, and I think drugs.
What do you mean?
Pain. There is a category of death that is other unintentional injuries. Over 2/3 of those are falls. So the 65 to 85 year olds falling and dying, hitting their head. But that leaves about 27% that is other, and it could be animal bites or drug overdose or unintentional poisonings, which are drug overdoses. And there's a overdose map that has information at the county level that highlights Transylvania County for seniors over the age of 65 have 27% of the deaths of overdose are in that age group over 65. That is very different than the 15 to 64 year olds. If you look at the 16 to 64 year olds, Transylvania County is not one of the higher incidences of drug overdoses. But when you look at the 65 plus, we are one of the counties that they make up a greater percentage of the deaths. Now, that's only 9 deaths over a 4-year period. But that's 9 deaths over a 4-year period due to drug overdose.
Some of that I would lay at the physicians. I had basal cell off my nose back 18 months ago now. When we were all over, she, and it was a female doctor, asked me that I need any pain medication. I don't think so. Normally I have Tylenol. She insisted that you better take some because this is really going to blow up on you. And she gave me a prescription, and I had it filled. I was stunned. It was 30 pills. I took one to sleep that night. I still have the other 29, and it wasn't okay. And since then, I've talked to other people, that's not uncommon. You get a lot of pills, and what do you do with them if you only take one or two or three or four, and you've got 25 or 30? Now, I have a son-in-law who is a police officer. And he says, well, if you don't watch out, your teenager takes them and sells them. And he joked with me and said, hey, man, you got a small fortune there. I said, you could get at least $10 a piece for us. We wouldn't do that. But I do think...
Don't flush them down the commode. Don't do that. Too many people do that.
That's an area that needs to be looked at is... overprescription of opiates, and I see things in print now that there's more attention being given to that, and that you don't have unlimited refills and that sort of thing.
I still think there's going to be substantial discrepancies between the older population, between based upon economic or status. I mean, you can see that every day here in the county.
So you can see there's a lot going on right now. Would you like a copy of this draft to look at?
Yes.
Sure. Send it out to us if you don't mind.
Would it be easier to just send it to them or put it on the website?
I'd send it to us, plots in draft form.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Joy, you have some training in Lauren?
Yeah, May. I think it's the 10th. May 10th. We're going to a training in Nashville.
Are we doing that? Am I doing that?
I signed the requisition for it.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. I don't want to send me an email.
Well, we haven't received the email from the school of government yet.
Okay.
I was going to send it to you the moment I got it.
Okay.
But the reminder.
I think I put it on my calendar.
Okay. So.
Maybe. May 14th is a tour of historical homes.
May 19th.
Saturday the 19th. Mm-hmm. Tour of historical homes in predominantly the Brevard area. JHPC, Joint Historic Preservation Commission, falls under our auspice, and Joy does most of the work with that group. Joy, working with Marcy Thompson at the library, created a really great trifold.
The museum, Beckett's been involved in that too.
Heritage Museum has been involved, as has the Historical Society.
And the nonprofits will get all the proceeds from the ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see the historic homes that have a lot of good impact on the 150 years that Brevard is celebrating this year.
Yeah, I've only been inside two of them, so I want to do it. It's $15 a head.
Mm-hmm. May 19th.
Noon to 4.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm going.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's all I have. Do you have anything else? Joy? Anything else?
No.
A lot right. going on.
Sounds like
you'll
it.
You'll see it. You'll see it next month when we have the update of what's been happening in the past year.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Thank you. Moving on to item D, any other new business anyone has? Any other new business? All right. Assuming there won't be any public comment, so we'll move on to board member comment. Start with Lauren. Thank you again for your work with
helping
with Duns Rock. That's very much appreciated.
Thanks to you guys for the comprehensive plan. That's a fantastic award, and it's a great document too. I think it's a huge asset.
I think for a small county like us to be able to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Not only with the content, but also presentation and how it comes across. And that's these guys. I was asked what colors I find.
As an architect, I think that's very important.
I got color choice. You know, do you like this color or this? You know, that's it. Well, thank you,
Bob. Do you have any comments?
Yeah, the wayfaring signs have been put out near the DuPont property and all that. Those are beautiful signs.
Would you write the county commissioners and let them know that you think that they're beautiful signs, or a letter to the editor? That would be really nice.
I would have to run that by Jason before I can.
Get somebody else. I'm just saying.
But I mean, those had to have been expensive signs. I mean, they're really nice looking signs. I just hope some of the good old boys don't.
Shoot at them. I don't know what the obsession is with shooting at signs, but hopefully that doesn't happen.
We have 11 signs, and the total cost is $50,000. So now the smaller signs, you know, they're relatively inexpensive. There is a couple larger signs that are on the order of $6,500, something like that. So.
But I noticed they have the Breakaway Foundation on
all of them have to,
so forth like that. And the restroom project at Hooker Falls started Monday. Mm-hmm. You know, right here at the start of the busy summer season.
Yeah.
So it's anticipated that that'll be finished by early to mid August.
That's a perfect.
But you talk about a septic tank drain field, 33,000 square feet.
Wow. How much land do you have to tear out?
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to be putting the new infiltrator lines in. But, of course, you have to have a 100% repair area also. So all of the area from the present gas line going down towards Hooker Falls is all pretty much all going to be dedicated to drain field.
Nice spring field.
Do what?
It'll be a nice spring.
Yeah.
Go out and have a picnic.
the drain field is so large that they have a dosing tank and a pump system to equally load all of the lines, where none of the lines get overloaded.
Wow.
And that's going to be something to see. But they started clearing the land and grading, doing the soil subgrade foundation for the slab. So they're moving on it, but it's going to be interesting out there this summer without Upper Cooper Falls parking lot. It's gone for the summer.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That is. Yeah, November wouldn't have been a good time to start that project.
Right. Where will they
put the people? They're going to have to park along the road.
Right.
Now, one of the problems that that may bring up, if people do not realize that they still have to come into Lower Hooker Falls to get on the pedestrian bridge,
They're
going to start crossing the guardrail like they used to before the pedestrian bridge was ever built.
It's going to be a
this is for later. It's a miracle of God that there was never anyone hit by a car out there.
Yeah. You're right.
Because I mean, they fly off those hills, and I've seen children dart right out in the road and never looked in either direction. And again, by the grace of God, no cars were coming. That's just a quick update on that.
Thank you. Sandy, you have anything?
I'm curious about, doesn't have much to do with us, all the road work is going to be done in, on, if it starts on time, 2 years from now?
You might want to take a long vacation.
I'm telling you. I mean, now it's something. I mean, it's
around.
Yeah, and
Broad Street is before San Francisco.
There will be probably an 18-month period of time where I think it will be challenging here. But I think with the Pisgah Forest intersection, 276 all the way up to Avery Creek Road, Acosta Road with a new roundabout connecting Acosta Road, Old 64, and Wilson, that all being done. Broad Street, one of the higher priorities that just came up is North Country Club and improving North Country Club and Neely Road, and all of these probably in the next 5 years. The amazing thing is we have never seen this much activity and investment by NCDOT. And so
that's a lot of money too.
It's a lot of money. I think one is we have been engaged. We have been engaged with district engineer. We've got some people, the district engineer, Steve Cannon, another person, Steve Williams, also with DOT, and Vicki Eastland with the Rural Planning Organization. All of these things are kind of coming together. I do not want to see anything that jeopardizes that funding and trying to get those improvements in. But I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be horrendous. I serve as the chair to the RPO, the rural piece of it. And one of my biggest concerns is starting now, essentially. I-26 is going to be worked on. 191 is going to be worked on. And US 25. All at the same time.
Oh, mercy.
And so my comment has been to DOT, and we have at the last board meeting, and then the next one is, all right, guys, what are you doing with businesses to help, you know, are you going to talk to businesses about commuting patterns? Can you let more people do work at home? How are we engaging? But the reality is that work is it's needed. And so how do you just go on a long vacation.
Are they widening 191? What are they doing?
191 is going to be widened significantly.
If they're doing 26, 191, and 25 all at the same time, I'm quitting my job. in downtown Asheville.
I totally
agree. Yes, it is.
I'm gonna have to get a helicopter.
Maybe we can go in.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, Bob can help us out.
There are benefits to that.
That is a big challenge.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. The meeting for the gun discussion, it's very hard to keep that on track, I think, knowing some of the people involved. I have a contact, Warren, and I've discussed that exclusion. He characterized it as a total failure of all levels of law enforcement. Did not look after that guy when he exhibited problems at his house numerous times. And of course, the school resource officers reacted horribly, as did the command structure that got out there and put that thing together. And that, of course, has spurred tremendous debate in this country, as well it should. Schools are. We are very fortunate here that we have a school resource officer in every school, and I don't think they're going to be standing outside saying everybody keep back 500 feet. I was doing nothing on that. This time last night, I was on a great silver bird winging its way from Fort Lauderdale back here, and I looked at the in flight little booklet they had. It was Allegiant Airlines. It's a pretty nice little booklet. Had a nice ad for Henderson County. Had a nice ad for a realtor who has an office here that sells property around. I searched in vain for anything from Transylvania County, as I do every time I get a AAA. I know we don't have any real thing with that.
That is the Tourism Development Authority.
I know, and I sometimes wonder how they do, what kind of advertising they really do, because like the AAA magazine goes all over the southeastern United States, I see advertisements from various other places, but mostly it's a little play like that in Transylvania County. Allegiant, thing in Henderson County was a full page, and I swear one of the waterfalls they were counting was in Transylvania County.
Asheville does it all the time. Mm-hmm. Asheville does it all the time.
And they looking glass,
sliding rock, looking glass. Yeah, yeah, I see it. And I'm like, that's not Asheville.
Asheville has a country club.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether we're, you know, what our push there is, but if we're going to rely on hikers, bikers, tourists, and retirees, I wonder how much sometimes is being done. Maybe I don't see it all.
I would suggest that you have a conversation with Barb Lovelace, who's the executive director. I think the Tourism Development Authority, it would be my impression, is that they are very strategic in the magazines that they do advertise in. And it may not be the same ones that you would see.
That's true.
And I recognize that. Yeah. I think the statistics that I've seen from TDA show that the return on their investment in this community and the number of people here relative to other communities, that they're doing a good job. But I still would encourage you to go talk to Clark, or write and ask us, letter to the paper and say, where do you go? So,
you know, TDA.
I wondered that for some time, as I know they get money from the county and all that. And
well, their money actually comes from tax receipts, from the occupancy tax. Mm-hmm. And so it is county money, but that's where they get their money. That's its occupancy tax.
No, whatever.
TDA put a kiosk out at DuPont. Showcase
in the county. And, I will certainly plan to go to that presentation you're talking about, because I think that we desperately need some road work around here.
We're getting there.
And it's time we got our share. Nice way to say it.
All right, thank you. I'll keep it brief. I appreciate everybody being here tonight. And congratulations again to staff on the recognition for the comprehensive plan. We were all engaged, but you guys did a heavy lift, and we know that. So that really speaks to the work that you all did. And we really appreciate the time and effort you put into it, and it's certainly a worthwhile recognition for you all. So congratulations. I'll try to get over for that meeting. It's not by happenstance that we're getting investment here in our roads. We've had a involvement with the RPO and the Atlantic Sky Regional Council for quite some time. It's something that Transylvania County has taken very serious. And because of that, we are now seeing some return on that through these investments. So,
If I can interrupt on that, it also helps when Henderson County has a number of residents that live on, for example, Canuga Road, and they're out protesting against any type of activity. NCDOT will look at them and say, that's fine. When you get ready to do something, we'll come back and talk to you. We are benefiting from that right now. We're benefiting from that. And I've talked to Steve Penn and Steve Williams. I mean, they're happy to go where they are liked.
Yeah. And it don't take much to turn them off. That's for sure. That's for sure. So, anyway. All right. If no one has anything else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. If you're crazy enough to oppose, like, sign.
We will let you know when the commissioners have the Mountain Ridge Shop ordinance on their
list. Okay, that sounds great. Thank you all.
Next commission meeting is Monday night.
Let me see if I can line up. Sandy, can I borrow that pen?
Yeah.
Thank you.